to say. And so Joshua chapter 1, don't stand yet, takes place, obviously, right when Joshua takes over in leadership. And the Lord just did that. I don't know how we could have planned that any better. I think when Pastor came 10 years ago, he said, you know, it'll take me 10 years to get through the Pentateuch, and then that's when the next pastor will take, so he can be in Joshua. I think that's how it all worked out. No, but Moses, you know, is off the scene, and Joshua is taking over. Now, you know, Joshua, and the people knew Joshua. He's been there for years. He was one of the faithful. Remember when they sent the spies in to spy out the land? He was one of the two, Joshua and Caleb. Good job, Caleb. And they went, and they were the two that said, hey, God can do this. And the other 10 were, you know, 10 were bad and 2 were good. That's how that works. And so Joshua was one of them. And then Joshua was just a blessing and a servant in a lot of ways. And then it started to become clear that Joshua would one day take the place of Moses. And toward the end of Deuteronomy, that's what happened. Moses passed away. That's weird. Pastor's not passing away, but Moses is off the scene. I almost read, now after the death of Moses, and I can start off already. But anyways, Moses did pass away, though, and Joshua took over. Now, the reason I'm saying that is I was considering what God would have this message be, and I was like, what are the first words of a person who's going to take over something like this, something so overwhelming, and what do we do? And you're following after another person, and then God was like, duh, somebody did that, okay? And so we're going to look at that whenever we get there. But first, I just want to look at a few verses before we read our passage, which our passage will start in verse number 10. And so the first 9 verses is whenever God speaks to Joshua. Look in verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now, we're not going to read all these verses, but you probably know the story well enough that God told Joshua, hey, you're going to be the next guy. And 3 different times, God has to tell him, what does he say? Be strong and of a good courage. 3 different times he says that. And the reason he had to say that is because Joshua was feeling weak and not courageous, right? And the reason that he could be strong and courageous was not because Joshua was anything special, not because Joshua was as good or better than Moses, not because Joshua had any ability. The reason why he can do that is because of what God says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe the law. And then look at, actually, well, now I'm losing it. Yeah, here it is. Which Moses the Lord commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whither thou goest. And he says in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So he says, Joshua, if you're going to be the leader that I want you to be, here's really all you have to do is study the book of the law and then have the people do the book of the law. And so Joshua didn't have to hardly say anything. God's going to tell him exactly what to say, right? And then verse 9, he says, and have I not commanded thee? Again, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Why? Neither be thou dismayed because of this. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And God tells Joshua, listen, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be dismayed, discouraged, because it's not going to be you who leads the people. It's going to be me who leads the people. And you're just going to be the one that I happen to use at the time. And so that helps Joshua. And he's excited, and he hears from the Lord. Now we've read that and studied that and probably knew about that, and it's familiar to us. But we can't forget what really happened right there. Listen, God spoke to Joshua. And God said, I am with you. I am with your people. I am going to do this. Like the same God who parted the Red Sea. And Joshua would have been a young man to watch that. And the same God who provided for them. The same God who did time and again show himself powerful. And if that God is on his side, then really who could be against us? That's what Paul says, right? And if the hand of the Lord is on you, then who cares whose hand is against you? That's pretty exciting. And Joshua gets pumped. And he went from being kind of scared and kind of discouraged to being pumped. And now he's going to talk to God's people. Okay, so let's all stand and we'll get to verse number 10. Verse 10, the first words of Joshua. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, this is Joshua's first words. Pass to the host, command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan and go to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. That's awesome. He says this, let's go, right? Let's go. He doesn't get up there and give his credentials as a leader and tell them and try to like do a campaign about why he should be the next leader and give out his strategy. Here's what he said. God's already given us the strategy. He already promised you the land. He's promised us from the beginning. So let's go. So let's go. Let's pray. We'll get into the word. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how it gives us direction. Thank you, God, that we don't have to wonder what we're going to do next necessarily. We can just look to you and look to your word and just follow you and watch how you win our battles, watch how you remove obstacles. And I'm excited to see what you're going to do in the lives of the members of Valley Avenue Baptist Church. We love you. Pray that you bless this time. Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. And so Joshua says, let's go. Joshua says, we got work to do. Joshua doesn't make any, it doesn't waste any time. He gets there and he says, hey guys, 3 days and we're going. And then here's what he does. Again, I'm going to go really fast through this. As he sends in the spies. Remember the spies that go into the land? Now, we're not going into Canaan like before. They're going into Jericho. And he sends two spies to go look at the land in Jericho. And not because he didn't trust God. We know how God took care of Jericho, right? God just said, hey, walk around for 7 times and it's all going to fall down. Well, God hadn't told Joshua that yet. All Joshua knew is God's going to give us Jericho. But as a military commander, he was just looking ahead and being wise and saying, hey, you two, go look in there and see how we're going to take this place out. That's basically what the spies were there for, right? And the idea was when he got back, they were going to go. So the spies go, they spy out the land. They run into Rahab, and we don't have time to deal with all that today. But Rahab believes in God, and Rahab is spared. And she's a Canaanite woman, and God spares her. But anyway, they make it back. Okay, we just did chapter 2. That was impressive, wasn't it? We're going to go through Joshua in like 2 months, okay? But then we get to chapter 3. So go to chapter 3. Actually, let's go ahead and look at verse 23 of the last chapter, verse 22. No, chapter 22. No, chapter 2, verse 23. How are we doing? Chapter 2, verse 23. We good? And so the two men returned and descended from the mountain, the two men who spied out the land, and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. I love this. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. They're like, God's already done it. And for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. And so they've got the strategy in a sense. They know kind of what they're going to do. Chapter 3. And Joshua rose early. This is a man of action, isn't it? And they get there one night. They leave the next morning. Well, he gets up the next morning, and here's what he says. And they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And so they get up in the morning, they pack up their stuff, and they go to Jordan. Now Shittim was a city near Jordan. That's where they had been. And now they're going up, and now they're at the brink of Jordan. And they're looking at the Jordan River. And we'll find that later, that this high tide, and the waters are raging. The snow on Mount Hermon is melting, and it's rushing down the river. And the River Jordan is just gushing, and it looks violent, and because it is. And they get there, and they came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And so it's like God brought them up to what they're about to do. Are you following me? They need to get to Jericho, which is on the other side of the Jordan. God brings them up, and if you could just imagine these steps as Jordan, And God brings them up and he says, look at it. And for 3 days, they look at it. And they just see, this is crazy. This is a wild river. And they saw, hey, they saw Moses. They saw what God did with Moses in the Red Sea. They know that God can do it. But you can imagine for 3 days, waking up and staring at this river, what is going to happen? How is this going to work? Verse 2 came to pass after the 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. They said, listen, the ark of the covenant, it's gonna be lifted by the Levites, and they're gonna walk toward the Jordan River, and when they do, you just follow. Don't worry about it. Just follow. You see? And they got it. This is a big deal. And now here's what's really cool, verse 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know. Why? Why not come close to it? That ye may know the way by which we must go. And so Joshua told them, listen, the ark's going to go. I don't want you to go right behind it. I want you to stay back a little bit. And there's a couple reasons why that could be. It could be out of reverence for the ark. That could be. But God told us right here in the verse. Why? So that you can see where we're going. What are you talking about? Well, if they were crowding, not all of Israel could see the ark. And Joshua wanted to make sure that all of Israel can see where the ark was going. Because where the ark was going was where they were going. Huh? Are you following? And when Joshua goes to lead them through the Jordan, Joshua doesn't lead them through the Jordan, does he? The Ark of the Covenant leads them through Jordan. And Joshua said, if you're gonna trust my leadership, here's what I'm gonna tell you to do. Follow the ark. If I'm gonna be a God-appointed, God-ordained leader, if I'm gonna lead God's people, here's what I'm gonna tell you to do. Look at the ark. Where the ark's going, you go. And where the ark's going, I'll go. And you can come with me, but we're not going where I'm going. We're going where the ark's going. Are you following? And he said, stay far ahead enough so you can see it. Don't take your eye off the ark, because when you see the ark, where it's going, that's where we're going. That's good. You know what the ark is? It represents. Now, it wasn't a weird pagan thing. They didn't worship the ark. But the ark of the covenant was a representation of the presence of God. And if we're going to be the people of God that God wants us to be, then what we're going to do is follow the presence of God. And if I'm going to be the pastor and leader I need to be, what I need to do is just, here's all I have to do, is point you to the presence of God. And that's what Joshua did. That's pretty awesome. Yep. And that's what they did. In verse 5, when Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, who remembers what they're doing after they cross the Jordan? You know what they're going to do? They're going to battle. Mm-hmm. They have this huge obstacle in their way, and it's preventing them from battling. And Joshua says, we need to go to battle. Here's how you prepare for battle. He didn't mention anything about swords or shields or preparing an army. Here's how they prepared for battle. Sanctify yourself before the Lord. If we're going to go into battle, yeah, he was a military commander, and I know that he got them into shape and got them ready to fight, but paramount of them fighting the battle was getting right with God. And listen, Valley Avenue Baptist Church, we're going to go battle.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and Pastor mentioned it this morning. Hey, there's still souls that need to be saved. And there's a spiritual warfare that's still taking place here. And just because the previous leader is moving on to another battlefield doesn't mean that we're not still battling. And we need to battle. And there's some obstacles in our way, sure. And there's some things that are like, well, how is God going to take care of that? How is God going to take care of that? And what about them? They're pretty strong. They're pretty powerful. Do you see the fortified wall? What are we going to do? Just follow the ark. And let's go battle. Sanctify yourself and follow God's presence. And if I can help you to do this, to sanctify yourself, that means separate yourself from the world and prepare yourself spiritually, and then I can convince you to do that and follow God's presence, then I don't even need to do anything as a leader. God's people will start taking care of some things. Are you following? That was Joshua's strategy. Yeah. And so then God told him that what's going to happen. Look at verse 6. And Joshua spake to the priest, take up the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the ark and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. They may know that as I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And so I'll have some people help me in a second. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, listen, it's time. The 3 days are up. It's time to battle. Let's go. Here we go. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know, I love this, that the living God is among you. There's a lot of dead gods on the other side of Jordan, but you know that the living God is among you. How do you know that? Here's how. And he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. Joshua says, here's how you're going to know that God's with you. Here's how you're going to know that he's going to take care of it. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. And this verse 12, and there, now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, the Lord of all the earth, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down above, and they shall stand upon a heap. I need some helpers. You. Four. You're Levites. You know that? Come here. And pretend we're not going to have anything be the Ark of the Covenant. I feel like I'm missing someone. Oh, there's a fourth you. Was it Robbie? Was it Angel? It was. I know I said four. One, two, three. Come on, Angel. That's all right. Angel can come up here. We'll be done soon. Okay, so here's how they did it. That God commanded that when the Ark of the Covenant was to be moved, they weren't supposed to just pick it up willy-nilly. There was a specific way that God said for them to move the Ark. And the way was, it's not spelled out in our passage, but we know they followed it because Joshua knew the word of the Lord, right? That's what God said for him to do. And the word of the Lord said that they're supposed to stand on each corner, the Levites, on each corner of the Ark. So you stand here and pretend like there's a box right here. So Lauren, you stand right here. And then Angel, you stand right here, and then Dustin, and you see, wait, too far, right here. Okay, you see an ark right here? Not me. So there's a box there. Okay, and there were rods that went through the sides, and there were like little holes for the rods to go through, and they would pick up the Ark of the Covenant, but they would never touch the Ark of the Covenant. They would touch the poles that lift up the Ark of the Covenant. There was a guy who touched the Ark of the Covenant, and his name was Uzzah, and it did not go good for him, okay? And so they picked up the ark. And I'll be Joshua over here. I don't know how many 3,000 cubits or whatever it is, but I'll be over here. So you guys pick up the ark. Pick up the ark. And Joshua says, they're going to pick up the ark. Nice job. Good form. And when they go, when you see the ark moving, get up and go. Don't wait. You pack up your tents and you go. And he said, they're going to go to the river bank, and they're going to touch their feet. And when their feet hit the river, here's what the Bible says. I love this. They said, man, look at this raging river. How are we going to even get there to battle? God wants us to fight over there. We can't even get there. Verse 13 in the middle. And the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters. You think the waters are a big deal for God? He's the God of not just the waters. He's the God of all the earth. And when they touch the water, the God of all the earth will rest in the water. And then he's going to do whatever he says. Are you following? And listen, obstacles are no big deal for God. He can remove obstacles. And so they'll be cut off. And here's what they said. Down the river, it's going to be like they're dammed off. Now the Red Sea, remember Moses, when God used Moses, they parted the Red Sea. But the Red Sea is just a body of water. It's not flowing. This is a flowing river. And so what's going to happen is there's a city called Adam. That poor city probably got flooded. But it's just like the river dammed off at Adam. It was just stayed in a heap, just stayed there. And then there were other little rivers that fed into it. We know about how that goes with the Missouri, right? And but what about all those rivers? Well, they're just going to dry up. When they hit the, when their souls hit the water, the, it's just going to be dammed off, and all the little rivers are just going to be dried up. And you'll walk on dry ground. And immediately, there's people, scientists or historians are like, well, this has happened before. There's an earthquake, and it made it stop there. And then it they dried up the ground too. I don't think that's what happened. And so the ground would be totally dry, and we'll just walk across. And we'll be ready to battle. So that's what happens. And so, stay here. Don't move. You guys getting tired yet? You're doing good. All right. And so, where are we at? Verse, chapter 3. All right, verse 14. You there? And it came to pass when the people were moved. Wait. When the people were moved from their tents. So pause. So they got the ark. And here's what happens. Immediately, they see the ark starting to move. They pack up their tents. The people know it's time to battle. They've not seen any of this happen. They just heard that it could happen. They just heard that it was going to happen. They've not seen it happen. Listen. They didn't wait to see what God was going to do before they got up. They got up because they knew God was going to do something. There's a huge obstacle. There's fortified cities. There's people who have lived in Canaan for thousands of years who are well-equipped and well-battled, and they don't know how this is all going to work out, but they just know that, that their leader Joshua said that God told him that they just got to, when they see the ark move, just follow it and God will take care of it. And they saw the ark move, and they pack up their tents, and they start to go. They removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant people, and as they that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water. So walk toward the water, guys, and you two get on the first step. You two. Like there's the water, the steps. Go that way, and you guys get on the first step. Come down the first step. There it is. Do you see it? It all went away. And immediately, so listen. What happened first? The tents were brought up first. Then the water hit. Are you following? God's people were already ready to obey, and then God started doing something awesome. Yeah, but Brother Chad, they knew that God was going to do something awesome. And we don't. God's promised. God's already given us the victory. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God will give you the power to speak, and the words that God wants you to speak, He'll put in your mouth. God will bless. God will take care of your battles. Over and over, the command that God gave Joshua, the very command they heard, was not a command just for Joshua and the children of Israel, was it? No, this was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that very command is made to us, that if we just get up and obey God, we don't know what it's going to look like yet. We don't know how God's going to do it yet. We've not seen God do it yet. Maybe we have in the past, but we can't see the future. But we don't have to worry about any of that. We just got to get up and go. And as God leads, we follow. Yeah, but what about this or that? Yeah, the God of all the earth will rest upon it. I think He can take care of it. I think you all can see it. And they cross on dry ground. Look at verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now remember this. Where are they headed? Battle. When they get to the other side of Jordan, and the waters shut back behind them, there's no going back now. Now all they have before them is some battles. And that's kind of where we are, isn't it? Valley Avenue Baptist Church has seen God do some amazing things over 10 years. And God has used a man of God, and God has prepared His people, and God has moved. And for 40 years, this people has followed God under the leadership of a man. But now the man is gone. Is it over now? No, sir. Actually, it's just starting. There's still plenty to do, isn't there? There's still a land to conquer. There's still enemies to be defeated. There's still people. There's still spiritual battles and warfares out there that need to be fought. And there's still obstacles in the way. And God is in the business of removing obstacles, fixing problems that we feel like are impossible to fix, and winning spiritual battles that we cannot win. God's in the business of doing that. And I'm excited to see how God does that. Well, how do you know God's going to do something? Because we've just been following God. This wasn't a strategy. Pastor and I didn't put our heads together and say, this is how the transition's going to go. This has just all been God. And the same God that has worked so many miracles in the past through Moses is the same God who's going to work the miracles in the future through Joshua. And God still has a plan, and we're just going to keep going, aren't we? We're just going to keep going because there's still a Canaan to win. Yeah. But the same is true even in our personal lives. You know, God has some battles for you, personally. God has some inhabitants in your life that need to be taken care of. And sometimes it feels like you know what God wants you to do and you see Jericho's walls across the Jordan, but you can't fight that. You can't fight that city. Even if you could, you got a huge river in the way. Oh well, we'll just go back to Egypt. And some people do that. But God wants you to keep going. Keep going. But God's done all this in the past. How do I know God's going to keep going? Well, because God did do those things in the past. And God wants you to keep going. And so you just keep following the presence of God. You just watch how God just starts to clear out and clear out. And then you'll get to the battle and you're all ready and you've been hyped up. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to give up alcohol. I'm going to give up these kind of relationships. I'm going to be committed to church. And you have all these strategies and reasons and ways that you're going to do that. And then God brings you to the battle and you find out, well, He just took care of it. He does that, doesn't He? And we don't know how it's all going to look. And they didn't know how the battles were going to go. All they knew is this: God was with them. And God would take care of it. And that's exactly what He did. And that same God is the God we serve. And He's ready to win some battles for us. All we got to do is keep going. God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for who You are. Thank You, God, that You're a God who can handle any obstacle in our life. You're a God who can win any battle in our life. God, help us to not trust in our ability, Lord, or in our worthiness, but, Lord, to trust in Your presence and to follow You. Pray that You would bless, pray that You would help us do that as a church, but then, God, that You would help us do that in each individual life as through the rest of our life we face battle after battle. Bless. Bless and I pray, amen. Let's stand together.